Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Cover your cough or sneeze. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. And remember, you're safer at home. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by Live 365 and this station.
What's good, radio family? The Psalmist Voice Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. Just pick your flavor. Starting with, on Sundays, the Psalmist Voice Reloaded at 2 p.m., Central Standard Time, followed by Cell Life with Michael Ceballos at 4:30 p.m. Mondays, The Grub at 12 noon. Darcy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Labreen at 6 p.m. Fridays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4 p.m. Saturdays is our triple hitter, and it starts off with Saturdays for Beth with Sister Lorraine Brown, followed by Brother Now Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m., and Lota Bar Nation with Sandra Grace at 7 p.m. The Psalmist Voice presents by appointment only. Coming soon, TPV Radio's open mic open to all pastors, preachers, and artists, and we're going to get it in to be announced. You can also catch us on Live 365 24/7. Just search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and you're in there. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
At Javina Distributing, we got your covering for your winter and summer needs. One size fits all. To order yours today, please message them on Facebook at Javina Distributing or call 616-929-2991 or 517-489-6923. Or you can order from the website www.allsportsheadgear.com and type in promo code SIRON2020 to receive 20% off your purchase. Let's get it. Let's go.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. TPV Radio, Central Texas. You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
City on my back, a whole lot on my chest, treating me foul, had to tap it with the rest. Blow the whistle, them folks got benched, now watch me get blessed. Had to switch it up, everybody ain't loyal. But my day one's with me, bent down since the soil. All these hard times ain't finna stop. If my God be with me, then we pop it. On the real, really losing ain't no option. I got the word in my heart, so be cautious. I swear these Pharisees really make me nauseous. Guard my mind, ain't no time for no nonsense. Nah, straight like that, set it on wax.
family spitting facts, you can play it back. You can hear the truth when I'm in the booth. You can hit the dough if you get
brother,
mad.
Your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron Sego.
What you finna do when you get in?
I'ma act up, act up, act up, act up.
Hey, 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 what is going on, everybody? You already heard, it's your brother, your cousin, your nephew, and this is Pastor Byron Sego of Real Talk, and I appreciate everybody that's with us and that's riding with us on tonight. So, hey, Real Talk, this is Thursday, October 15th, and you have joined us for our weekly show, and I really do thank everybody that's listening, that's joining with us, that's riding with us a little bit later on. I appreciate you for being with us and holding on with us during this time. So, hey, I want to send some real quick shout-out, real quick. I want to send a big shout-out to TPV Radio Network, Pastor Chris, Lady Shanice Newton, doing great work in their area of ministry where God has placed them. I want to send a big shout-out to my wife, Lady LaTanya Sego, First Lady of Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, Vice President of Blessings on the Block Community Outreach, because you know that's how we do it. I want to send a big shout out to my children. Hey, all Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries family, Blessings on the Block family, everybody that's listening. I want to salute all y'all, and I appreciate you for being with us and holding on with me during this time. So, hey, you already know, I got to lay this, I got to lay the ground rules down before we start talking. You already know that here, Real Talk, or even at TPV Radio Network, we don't talk politics. We don't talk politics. The only thing that I will tell you is I will tell you to go vote. As a matter of fact, a lot of places have already opened up They're early voting. So, hey, you go and you vote early. If you don't go vote early, hey, take your lawn chair, take your collapsible chair, take your blow-up chair, take whatever you're going to take with you, take some snacks, some waters, and sit in line and wait and cast your vote. Cast your vote because your vote counts regardless of who you vote for. It doesn't matter. Your vote counts. So I encourage you to go vote. So, again, hey, we don't talk politics here. We talk real. So if you want to talk, this is the place to come and listen, Real Talk. And one more quick thing before we get in, because we have a great wonderful guest, special guest that's going to be with us. Everybody who joined in with us this week, Tuesday, for our first virtual community awareness open mic talk that we had on men and domestic violence. It was a great show, and it was a great awareness. And if you didn't get a chance to join in, or if you just decided not to be a part of the awareness, that's okay. That's your prerogative. You have that prerogative. You can do what you want to do. But if you did not join with us, you missed some great conversation. You missed some great awareness. You missed some really, really good conversation and really good things that we talked about. So, and there will be another. So just hold what you got. And we're going to put some more information out real soon when the next one will be. So, hey, let's get into it. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. So the last 2 weeks, I had these two great men of God, two great authors, Carlos Thomas and Detron Gillen. They are the authors, the co-authors of Thinking Out the Pen. I already got my copy. And I'm two pages from finishing these book of thoughts and poems by these two great men of God. So who I have tonight, I have one half of the A-team, Detron and Carlos. I have the other side of the team. I have Detron's wife. I have Jamara Gillen, and she's going to be with us tonight. She's going to roll with us tonight, and we're going to talk about with her, and she's going to open up her heart, and she's going to be real with you. We are going to talk about life during lockup. So, hey, Jamal, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, I really, really appreciate you taking time out for being with me on tonight as we talk about this thing. And first and foremost, I know you're proud of your husband, and you should be proud of yourself for doing what you've done and doing and hanging in there during the time of his incarceration. So it takes a really strong woman to be able to do that. But on tonight we're gonna talk to you. Hey, you relax, be yourself. We're gonna talk real. I don't go by a script or anything like that. So we just talk off the cuff. We chop it up, and then you just talk to the people real about what's going on with this situation. So hey, first thing I want you to tell everybody about you, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, my name is Jamara Gillen. I am the wife of Daytron Gillen, one of the authors of Thinking Out the Pen. I am an assistant special education teacher in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and I'm just a family person, a wife, mother of two, just the girl next door, sibling, sister, friend, just an everyday girl.
All right. So, okay, I said Jamara, so it's Jamara. All right, so we're gonna say the A how it really is. So Jamara, that's my bad. So you Olive Branch. You originally from Olive Branch?
No, not originally from Olive Branch. I'm also from Amory, Mississippi.
Okay, you're from Amory too. All right, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. We're not too far originally from each other. So let's start talking about this book first. We want to talk about the book, Thinking Out the Pen. So when this book first came to fruition, and I know they try and talk to you about it, what was the first thing that came to your mind when he started talking to you about doing a book?
Well, of course, when I first heard about this book, this collection of poems and thoughts, he was on his vacation trip, and he always comes to me with ideas. Everything that he comes to me about, that he think about, want to do. What do you do as a wife? You encourage him. You just say, well, if that's what you want to do, you need to do that. You encourage them. You push them to do it. And that's just what I did. When he came to me and said that's what he wanted to do, he wanted to write books. He wanted to be an author. He wanted to write this book about thinking out the pen and poems and things like that, and he wanted to push this book. I just gave him some encouraging words and just said, if that's what you want to do, I'm here to support you in whatever I need to do. So that was really my whole role, in just being the encouraging wife. So
yeah. Now, did you have the privilege of seeing some of those poems or and you can say it if you want to, but were some of those poems directly for you that was in that book, or did you have the privilege to be able to see and read some of those poems before they were even in the book?
Yes. I really more so heard more of them, rather than seeing them written down on paper. I heard a lot of them. He has spoken so many of them to me, and I saw one that I didn't like. That
was directed towards me. All right. Yeah.
It was directed towards me. It was, an honest, rough time that we had or a disagreement that we had in our marriage, and that's real. It happens every day in marriages. And he went to his pen and his paper, and he wrote exactly how he was feeling. And I didn't personally like it, but of course, those are his thoughts, those are his feelings. And so you have some of those pieces in the book as well. So,
yeah, but that particular one, he had to pull and say, nah, but you ain't better put that one in there.
Well, yes, that's exactly kind of how when we were in the editing process.
All right.
His sister who did the editing in the book. Shouts out to my sister-in-law, Vanessa Gillen. She does editing. She called and she said, hey, brother, and we were actually together at the time, and she said, Now, I'm on this poem, and I don't really remember the name of it, but I had heard the poem already before because he had told me that poem. And so she got to that poem, and she said, do you really think it's a good idea to put this one in there? And I had my little attitude, and I said, he looked at me like waiting on an answer, and I said, well, just do what you want to do. Just put it in there if you want to. But then I had my attitude anyway, so he called back and said, no, I better not put that one in there. So that one didn't make it. One of the ones didn't make it to the book, but yeah.
Yeah, when you get that answer, just do what you want to do. You might want to double think that one first before you. Because that's not the answer you want. Yeah, you want the yes or no, not do what you want to do. That's not the right answer. So I was wondering because when I interviewed Carlos and I talked to Detron, both of them. The first interview, I wasn't for sure, and I thought that you had some things to do with the editing, but I see you didn't. So Vanessa, so I already got her down, so she's gonna be my next person right here. So Vanessa, if you're listening, you're gonna get a message from me probably later on today or tomorrow for you to come on the show. So I already called you out, Vanessa Gillen. So I got you.
Yes,
I got you.
You have,
all right.
If you have the copy of the book, she's actually her information, her email is actually on the back of the book. It's hello@necessaryvision.com.
Okay.
So that's her booking information.
Okay. Yeah, I do have the book, and like I said, I'm like a couple of pages. Finished with the book. I didn't get a chance to look at the back of it because as soon as I got it, I opened it up and I started reading. So I'm definitely gonna get in contact with her and Detron and Carlos. If you're listening, service on tomorrow, you're definitely gonna get a shout out. I'm gonna encourage the people to go and buy the book from Amazon, which is available now on Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. So, Jamara, let me ask you this: so when your husband first when you first got incarcerated, was it how was it adjusting to him being gone?
It definitely was a hard adjustment. We've been together since we were 15 and 16 years old, and we are 34 and 35 now, and we were young parents, right out of high school, had our oldest son, Jeremiah. So when he first, got in trouble, our son was a baby. He was only one when he left. And so I was a young mom, 20 years old, with a one-year-old, and, left to, fend for my own, for myself, and basically being a single mother. It was definitely hard at times. It was an adjustment. But we were definitely in love. And, just being in love with the person that you had been with already for 4 or 5 years, I couldn't see myself, and not only just being in love, my best friend, couldn't see myself, leaving him. And so, it was definitely the grace of God, more importantly than anything, the grace of God that got me through that and, kept me and was with me the whole time and made sure that I had everything that I needed and provided for me and my son at the time. And so, yeah, it was definitely hard, and it was a major adjustment to our family.
What was the most difficult adjustment? And I know it was a number of adjustments. What was one of the most the biggest one to you?
I would have to say the most the biggest adjustment, one of the hardest things was finances. Being a single mom, it was hard. At times, without the help of family, at times I don't know. Of course, God first and foremost. Like I can't ever, go without giving Him all the glory. without my family and friends that I've had throughout the years, you know, being there, and some of my husband's friends, just family and friends just, you know, pitching in and helping where they can and helping, you know. And I've always been, in a way, in a negative, it's a negative thing, kind of prideful, don't like to ask people for help. You know, I don't like handouts or like to say, hey, I need this or need that. But I've learned through those years that, you know, God will place people in your life to help you. And I had to learn how to accept those things when people was lending and helping, you know, giving me those helping hands, you know. So one of the major adjustments was, and being lonely, you know, being, you know, without the one that you love, you know, that was another major adjustment that was very hard to deal with, you know, my best friend not being physically here with me. So those are just two that was very tough, you know, that I had to deal with.
Right. Now, did you have to deal with, and I'm asking you again, this is real talk, so did you have to deal with a lot of backlash from family? When I say backlash from family, where family was not the most supportive when you were being supported for your husband, does that make sense? Did you have to deal with a lot of the family saying, well, you don't need to deal with that no more, or you need to go on with your life, or anything like that? Did you have any family or friends that you had that you experienced that with, that you had to, you know, you had to either push through it, or you had to look at them and you had to, like, all right, you know, I'm not going to deal with you as much as I should because you're not giving me encouragement like I need? Did you have to deal with any friends or family during that time?
Most definitely. I even had a person one time to tell me, because of the sentence that he received, that they believed that I wasn't going to be there for him the whole entire time. They just was like, well, you're young, you know, you'll change your mind over time, you know, you'll change your mind over time. And yes, I definitely had friends and family too, my family more so, they were there for me, but it was times where that, you know, I've heard the lines of long, like, I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you did it. I couldn't do it. You know, people always came to me and said those things. And yes, I've heard people say, I couldn't do that if I were you. I mean, I don't see how you do that. So it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Both of us are from the same town. So everybody know us. It's a small town. You know, when you're from a small town, everybody know you. And though my husband did something, you know, that cost him 12 years of his life, he was very close still with a lot of people. He had, like, a lot of people that still loved and, you know, cared about him. They just saw a young man that made a mistake, and a lot of people still was, like, supporting him, you know, whether they supported him, you know, with finances or prayers, or just say, hey, tell your husband I said hey, or writing him a letter. He still had a lot of, you know, support, and he was accepted, like, very well back into our community. So he's really, honestly, a real likable guy. There's not too many people that do not like him. So, I mean, and he's got the personality that, you know, a lot of people gravitate toward him. But, yeah, I did definitely have people that said that they didn't believe that I would do it, or they don't see how I did it. But it never really broke me in any kind of way. I had already made my mind up. And so that was it.
So those people that did say that, that did ask you that question or whatever the case might be, now, did you react to them, or did you respond to them? And I want to say there's a difference between reacting and responding. When you react to something, that means there's no telling what you might do. But when you respond, it was more something that was probably thought out. So how did you react and respond to those people that had those that had those comments, or even had, you know, said some of those things or asked you that question? what was your comeback to them?
There were times that when they would say those things to me that I questioned myself. You know, I did question myself. I never reacted like out of anger or being upset, because people's opinions are people's opinions. You know, I can't get mad at how other people feel or what they may say or what they don't feel like they will be able to go through. That's why I feel like God allows certain things to happen to certain people. You know, it's, that thing is not meant for you, or that thing might be only meant for me to go through, or that thing might something, you know what I mean? So I never reacted, but my response was always, well, I feel like I am, you know, and sometimes it did make me feel like, well, am I going to be there for always? Or, you know, after 12 years, am I really going to, you know, I did question myself. There were times that I questioned myself, and, but I always reverted right back to the same thing. You know, this is a man who is my best friend, who I'm in love with, who I feel like God sent to me, and God brought us together. I mean, and I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. It always came back to the same thing. So my response was always just like, well, I'm going to be there. And after 3 years passed and 4 years passed, and Daystrom Gilden is still the center of my world, and that's all I talk about, and that's all I, you know, people started to see, like, this girl really ain't going nowhere. Like, she really is there. She really going visit him. Her and her son is still there and things like that. So, I mean, people started to really see it and believe it.
So, I know it was difficult throughout the whole thing. I know it was, but was it harder in the beginning, or did it get more difficult, you know, halfway in between, or the closer, you know, he was done with his time? What was it most harder? Was it at the beginning, or somewhere in between, or toward the end, or what to you?
I think it was really more closer to the end. I honestly feel like the first few years, it flew by so fast to me. And then I had an opportunity to move out of our town with a job and a home. And then I looked up, and it was already like half his time already gone. And then some things happened that I was dealing with personally, and then it's like when he was probably about the last two, three years of his sentence, it seemed like when we started, it got harder for me, just because I was so anxious and so like, I want you to hurry up and come home, and it just, you know, I just found myself getting more like, you know, I'm so tired, like going to and from the prison every week and dealing with those people that you have to deal with up there. It was just like, oh, I want to see my husband, but I don't want to go and deal with this today with these people that you have to get through. You've got all these checkpoints to go through and all these things like that. So I found it a little bit more difficult, more getting closer to the end of the sentence.
Gotcha. Understand. All right. Well, hey, Jamara, hold what you got. We gotta take a break. Radio station gotta pay some bills. So don't go nowhere. Don't move a muscle. We got some more questions for you. We're gonna really get deep, and I want you to really get real when we come back off this break. So hold what you got. So ladies and gentlemen, hey, Jamara Gillen is with us. The radio station gotta pay some bills. You already know it's your brother, your cousin, your nephew, Pastor Byron. Take a real talk, and we'll be back with you in a second. One.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
Yeah. Sound the alarm. Yeah, it's going down, y'all.
Yeah,
it's your girl, Miss Lady Boo. I'm
show
a big junk, you know what I'm saying? Represent
show.
Straight family, baby.
Family.
We keeping it in blood.
Thick
in mud. I'm trying to tell y'all, you know what I'm saying? That's the biz. I got my boy, Mr. Dale, his whole crew. I got my brother, Lil E / B.A.Z. My homeboy, P.B. Memphis.
P.B. Memphis.
Creep Dan Stain. Don't forget about your boy, M-Child. You know what I'm saying? It's going down, baby. Crazy Lady Entertainment.
Show.
I'm putting it down forever, y'all. It's going down independent. One.
Make a brother wanna get up and fuck it up. Straight cut, we rock so dumb. Mr. Straight hit y'all. Now we ready, Miss Lady.
Now I'm ready, now I'm ready, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready, now I'm ready, now I'm ready.
Make a brother wanna get up and fuck it up. Straight cut, we rock so dumb. Mr. Straight hit y'all. Now we ready, now we ready.
Now I'm ready, now I'm ready, now I'm ready.
Crowd with a frown, looking mean. Haters just a hating, trying to get up on my team. Baby, get up on me, have you looking kind of sloppy when I point aim.
Boom.
First I hit you with the beam. Girl, steady watching, trying to get up with my man. I don't care, have him, he ain't rolling with the plan. Plan to be a blessed young millionaire. When I finish rocking shows, get paid, don't you understand? You don't want to go to war with Lady Boo. Started as a fan, now you ride with my crew. Everybody knows you a wannabe, gonna end up broke. If you keep taking checks like you do. Hanging with my partners, trying to keep a level head. Riding in the BNC, feeling like a bed. Always pray to God, but it's hard not to want to hang coward suckers all up in my face. To end up dead. Walk around town acting like you beat us. Call a nigga phone saying that you wanna hit. Don't you feel stupid when he say, girl, please, you the cheese, man. No, I don't really wanna hit. Try to be like Lady, cause I flip the CEO. Write my own checks, pimp, I close my own door. I ain't tryna take that crap no more. Plan to sell an artist, you'll never know. Riding in the lane, feeling good up in the shade. Move to ATL, cause I'm tryna get paid. Everybody saying, oh man, she sold out. Pimp, never man, self made to the grave. I'ma hit you, mama, where it really, really hurt.
Blah.
Listen to my old rap, throw my old verse.
Blah.
It's all good in the hood where I'm from. B.A.G. I don't know that I had to sell first.
Ooh, yeah.
Like a brother wanna get up and put a pit book. We crunch your nub. Mr. Hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Make a brother wanna get up and put a pit book. We crunch your nub. Mr. Hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
What a H-O-L-Y,
and we still fly.
But here's another one. I got a 9 or 2, another buster claim he got a lot of
like Lauryn Hill, you just lost one.
One time for your mind, body, spirit, don't forget your soul.
Jesus blessed us, now we in control.
Uh-huh.
And on me, cause his silly style is old. But you can't blame Dale, cause I'm saving souls. I rock that MP, ride the track. Yeah, people brought it, and know I had it like that. Like the farm was a gap when the style is fat. But D.O.D. on the hill, and he got it like that. And a B.A.Z. Tennessee, bucking for the Trinity, laughing at you haters, cause you hate it, cause they can't be free. Independent Christian living, never slipping. Prince of Memphis, King Jehovah, Alpha Omega, man, I hope your soul is listening. Kingdom coming, suckers running, cause they got it twisted from the beginning. When the trumpet sounds, I ride that thing like lightning. Listen, H-O-O-L-Y-S-O-U-T. I wanna get up and forget book. We cross up, no, Mr. Hitcher.
What about the star?
It's on now.
We about to blow up.
Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Make a brother wanna get up and first get book. We crunk so no, Mr. Hitcher, rip us a star. It's on now, we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
Uh-huh.
Make a brother wanna get up and first get book. We crunk so no, Mr. Hitcher, rip us a star. It's on now. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Yeah, yeah. Make a brother wanna get up and buzz, get booked. We caught no, Mr. Hit y'all. It's on now, we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
Voila, huh?
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
stepping with the rest.
Blow the whistle.
Them folks got benched, now watch me get blessed. Had to switch it up, everybody ain't loyal.
Nope.
But my day ones with me been down since the soil.
Whoa.
All these hard times ain't finna stop.
Never.
If my God be with me, then we pop.
Okay.
On the real, really losing ain't no option. I got the word in my heart, so be cautious. I swear these Pharisees really make me nauseous. Guard my mind, ain't no time for no nonsense. Nah, straight like that, set it on wax. Only spitting facts, you can play it back. You can hear the truth when I'm in the booth. You can hit the dough if you get mad.
Your brother, your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron, say go!
What you finna do when you get in?
I'm a actor,
actor. Hey, what's going on? We are back, And you just heard my man, Mr. Dale, with We Ready. So we are back. We are with Jamara Gillen, wife of author Detron Gillen. So we are here with her talking real, and we're talking about life during lockup and some life after lockup. So Jamara, you still with me?
I'm still here.
All right. So before we left, we were talking about, you know, the support that Detron had and how difficult it was for you being a wife when he served his sentence. So I know you said that your son was one. So your son was really young when Detron first went in, when your husband first went in. So as time progressed on and as time went on, did you find it difficult to have to explain it to the children about where their father was?
I remember when he first left, of
mm-hmm.
course he was one, so of course he didn't understand a lot of it about where his dad was. And I remember him being 2 and 3, you know, he's talking now, you know, and stuff like that. And of course, two years has passed by and he knows his dad. He still knows his dad because I have been consistently in those 2 years going to see his father. And he know, like, this is my daddy, this is my mom. When we're going to go see my dad, he knows who his father is. So as he got older, I remember maybe he was 6 or 7 years old. And we had just moved to Olive Branch when he was 6 years old, or he was turning 6. And he said, he realized at that moment, like, we've been going to see him all this time, so 5 years now. And he said, you know, Mom, like, jail is a place where bad people go, right? Like when they do something bad. And I said, yes. And he said, so why would my dad be there? And I remember that being a very hard question for me to answer for him, but I made it as simple and plain as possible. I was like, you know, well, sometimes good people, you know, make a bad choice or do bad things, and
right.
they have to consequences. I said, just like you, you know, as a child, you do things that I tell you not to do, and what happens? Like, you get a spanking for it, you get on punishment, you know, you have consequences. And I said, adults have consequences too when they do bad things, but it doesn't always make you a bad person. And I had to explain that to him, but he realized at about 6 years old, I remember him asking me that question. But I remember early on, I used to tell him that daddy was at school.
Yeah.
You yeah. know, and I had picked that up from other people, but then I realized, you know, that wasn't, as he got older, and I knew the sentence that he had, and I knew eventually, you know, he's going to realize that that's not school anymore, you know. So.
Right.
Those were honest conversations that I had to have. That's one honest conversation that I remember in particular.
Yeah. And you know what? And that does good too, Jamara, that, we learn from all these TV shows and all these people that supposed to be able to tell you about kids that don't have kids themselves, but, you know, they want to tell you, tell your kids this and tell your kids that. But, you know, at some point, you know, we sometimes we take the intelligence of the other children a little bit less than what it really is, and then they're gonna ask you a right. question, and then you're not gonna be prepared to answer it when you should have just been honest with them from the beginning, and then you would have, you know, you probably would have avoided that difficult question. So I believe that was really good the way you did that. You know, you were able to tell him that once he got to a point where that difficult question came, you know, he realized that ain't a scoop. You know, because, you know, every time I go, you know, I see people in this room and they ain't learning nothing, or, at that time in that room, you know, there's nothing going on. It doesn't probably look like a school that he's familiar with, you know. So I think that's good. So as he got older, did you see any, did it seem like he began to get any type of anger or resentment, you know, from his father or from you because his dad was gone? Because, you know, maybe he probably looked around and he saw, you know, other kids, you know, with their dad, but, you know, his dad wasn't there. Did he have those moments, you know, especially younger, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, did he have those moments where he kind of was angry and, you know, maybe acted out in anger or anything like that?
I think there were times that, you know, as any kid, even in a two-parent home, you know, would test their parents. I never saw any anger that it seemed like he was acting out because his father wasn't there. And maybe there's something that I truly don't know, but I've always talked to him ever since, you know, he became totally aware of, like, where my dad is, what his dad did, when his dad was coming home. You know, he has, like, and this is nobody but God. To this day, Jeremiah, my son, who's 15 now, his dad came home when he was 12. He loves his dad unconditionally. Like, he has always been very close with his dad, like, over the years of incarceration, since he's been home, like, he's never judged him. He never said, like, to him or to me, you know, even when I go and talk to him, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel about your dad not being here? And he'll say things like, you know, well, dad made a mistake, and he's coming home, you know, he's not going to be gone forever. He always had, like, a positive attitude about it. And he is very, very close with his dad. And that is definitely a God thing, because it's a cycle. It has been a cycle in his family, in my husband's family, because his father was incarcerated, you know, in some of his childhood. And then he was incarcerated. And he doesn't have the closest relationship with his dad, but my son is very close with my husband. He's very close with his dad. So that definitely, I'm sorry, I have a 19-month-old that's having a hard time right now, but
that's okay.
But yeah, my son, he has been very close with his dad, and he never showed resentment or anger or anything like that the whole time of his incarceration. He never showed any of that to me.
Yeah. So now I think that, and this is what I believe, and I believe that now you can be kind of a mentor or a motivator to other women that are dealing with that, that are dealing with that issue that you dealt with. Do you find yourself being able to talk to women that may be dealing with it, or do you find yourself being able to mentor women that are dealing with it right now, or you haven't been in that situation where you've done any of that yet?
I haven't personally, you know, dealt with any women that are dealing with a husband or boyfriend or friend or whatever. But that is something that I have always aspired to do. You know, I have sisters, I have sister-in-laws, I have, you know, young women that come to me all the time about other issues, relationships and things like that all the time. And but that is something that I definitely aspire to do. And like I hope with this interview that, you know, they could probably open an opportunity for me, you know, to, you know, definitely talk to women about a family or a loved one or a husband or a boyfriend or whoever that's incarcerated. That's something that I definitely would love to do.
Yeah, I think it will. I really think it will. As a matter of, we'll talk later. We'll talk offline about that. So, but I definitely think it will. So, I know you said it was difficult while he was gone. You know, life during lockup was very, very difficult, and going back and forth, and you know, going through all that, you know, being searched and all that. I know all that's a headache. So the life during lockup was very, very difficult. So what about after, you know, after he came home, in the initial phases. Was that really difficult when he first came home, or was that more like, okay, you're back, you know, we're back in the honeymoon phase and things like that? So did y'all find any hiccups or any roadblocks during that time when he first came back?
Definitely. You know, like I said, when he left, I was 20 years old. He was 21. We were young parents that were already, like, having a difficult time as young parents, you know, fresh out of high school and with a baby, and we weren't living together at the time. So in all this time that has gone by, you know, we never lived together. So it was definitely an adjustment. You know, we got married while, you know, he was incarcerated. And so it's still an adjustment. You know, 2.5 years later, it's still an adjustment. It's work. Marriage is work. It's something that you have to work towards every day. You have to learn how to remove yourself for so long, even in our marriage. It was just him on one side and me on one side. You know, we didn't have that initial first 5 years together, you know, that initial, you know, honeymoon stage and all that stuff like that. So those are things that we are still dealing with, you know, to this day. You know, we when he first came home, and you know, we added another one in real fast. Got a 19-month-old, and you know, so we have an extra one in our family and an addition. So it's things. Marriage is something that you have to work on, though, every day. So it's definitely an adjustment, you know.
Yeah. So I guess once, and you're absolutely right. Marriage is work, and you know, it's not always peaches and cream. You know, you're with that person, and you know, there's going to be some times where, you know, where you still love each other, but you may not like each other. Then that's the difference between liking somebody and loving somebody, you know. So, you said that once you guys graduated high school and he, you know, he ended up getting sentenced and things like that. So, you got married while he was incarcerated. At what point did y'all get married during the incarceration? What year point? Was it the beginning or kind of halfway in between?
We got married in 2010. So at that point, okay, we had served 4 years. And so I was 23 and he was 24, right? Yeah. He keep up with dates way better than me, and that is so, you know, opposite in our relationship. Usually the woman that keep up with everything and make sure, and man miss stuff. But yes, we were 23 and 24, so he was 4 years in at the time of our marriage in 2010.
Yeah. And then like you said, coming home and never really lived together, that had to be really difficult. Because, you know, dating somebody and living with somebody is totally different. Now, now you have to get adjusted to that person and their and their quirks and you know, them leaving their socks on the floor, you know, pick your socks up, you know, not letting the seat up on the toilet, all this type of stuff. So I think you have to get adjusted to all that stuff. So for him, you know, and I'm asking you, I am not asking him, I already talked to him twice already, and I talked to him earlier today, so I don't need to talk to him no more. So for in your opinion, as him coming home, in your opinion, and you watching him and you being able to look at him, do you think from a standpoint from a wife that the transition was difficult for him as well?
That the transition was, you said, was it, do I think the transition for him was difficult?
Yeah, for him, you know, coming in and being, and you know, and being with you and seeing and being back adjusted to the kids. Do you think from a standpoint as a wife, it was difficult for him as well?
I do in some ways, but in a lot of ways, I also think he came on in and I think he, some things were smooth. He came on in and he picked up as a father. He, you know, got a job instantly. He started providing for our family. But I think there were, you know, like how I'm saying, you know, it was an adjustment for both of us. We never had lived together. I don't think it was, everything was hard for him, but I think some things may have been a little difficult at times, just coming from an environment where you always have to kind of be ready or prepared for anything, closed off. You know, I think, you know, for 12 years, I think some of those things kind of came, you know, into the home zone. But it hasn't been like a major adjustment for him. I think he was, like I said earlier, he was welcomed back in society very, very well. Like, I mean, he hasn't, thank God, that's why I say I know this thing is a God thing. You know, he hasn't had any issues getting a job. He hasn't had any issues just, you know, getting around, being a husband and being a father and doing things that, you know, no issues with the law. I mean, he just hadn't had any issues. You know, you see a lot of those guys that come out and reoffend in 6 months or whatever, like that, and he came home and he just became a family man. And I, you know, there's definitely have been some adjustments on both of our ends. But I don't think like the adjustment for him has been hard. I've heard stories of other guys that come home and they don't have families to go to. They can't get jobs because of their criminal history. They can't, you know, they're not welcome back into society. They, you know, and I don't think that has been the case for him. He's been very blessed.
Yeah, definitely, God has been doing wonderful things, and I truly believe that sometimes God has to pull us away in order to put us back in to where God wants us at, in the right position, standing in the right posture that God wants us to be in. And sometimes, you know, when we make those choices, you know, God can come in and he can pull us out of trouble anytime God wants to, but sometimes God, just like any good father, wants us to learn and grow from the choices and the mistakes that we made. And I really do believe that there is a lot for Daytron and for you as a husband and wife that you're gonna go far. And I told Daytron and told Carlos that, you know, I can't be more proud of him, you know. Carlos and I, we stomped through some of the same sidewalk down in Natchez High. I just graduated a year before him, so I told them both that I'm proud of them, and I know that God had something for them both to do, even after the experience, and that experience should be a learning experience. And I think it was either Carlos or maybe it was Daytron that said something that sparked my attention when it says, you know, that we you learn and you grow from those choices that you make, and if you continue to make that same choice, then you know you haven't grown from it, you know. So when you grow from it, it means you don't do that again, you know.
Right.
And right. So I can't be more proud of Daytron and Carlos for what they're doing and things like that. So my last question for you, Jamari, is if you were to tell a young woman right now that was at the age where Daytron was sentenced and Daytron did his time in incarceration, if there was a young woman listening right now that is experiencing exactly what you experienced, what would you tell them?
That's a difficult one. I mean, I can't give every woman the same thing that I did, because every woman is not built, and that's not a negative, like, I'm not condescending any woman, because, I mean, if a woman doesn't want to put herself through that, she don't have to. You know what I mean? That's why I'm saying, me personally, this was something that I know that God orchestrated in my life, you know, and it wasn't always easy. So I don't know the exact words to say, but I definitely would have to say, you have to be aligned with Christ. You have to be aligned with Christ, even if you are not in exactly the same situation as me and Daytron. Like, if you are two single people that's even looking to date in society, and you're not even separated by bars or whatever, that's something you both need to be aligned with Christ to see if that person is the person for you. See, I knew that Daytron was the person for me, and that's why I waited on him and I was there for him and I supported him. That was something that I knew I was supposed to do, because that's how God orchestrated my life. And so every woman is not, you know, going to deal with it. Every woman is not going to handle that the same way that I have to handle. My only advice to any woman would always be to be aligned with Christ, and you'll know the man that God has for you will be for you. So that would really truly only be my only advice.
That's good. So I hope some young woman, anybody that's listening right now, that Christ is important in your life. Christ has to be important. Mm-hmm. Christ has to be the center of our lives in order for Christ to, because God has great things for us. God wants us all to be successful. God don't want us to live difficult lives. But a lot of times we make our own lives difficult by the decisions that we make. And we gotta be better, you know. And we gotta love despite of, regardless of who it is, what they've been through. We our responsibility, just like Christ did, is we gotta love them. We gotta love people. And showing love like you did to your husband during that time, and continuing showing love, I salute you for. I salute you 100% for. So look, Jamari, before we get off the air, hey, send your shout outs, whatever you gotta say. Hey, send them out. It's your time. You got the
floor. Okay. First and foremost, I want to thank God for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity. My husband, y'all meeting through Carlos, and my husband giving me my shout out, and then here's me having, that's a door for me and the opportunity to come in and hopefully encourage somebody, and some young woman, or any woman for that matter, or any man for that matter. I just thank God for this opportunity, you know, for my husband, my family. Thank you for the opportunity too, Mr. Sago. Just for this opportunity, and I just thank God for it all. Just thank God for it all.
Hey, there's no thanks. So hey, we got. I'm telling you right now, hey, we got a lot more in store. Like I said, I talked to Daytron earlier, because me and him always talking at least once or twice a week so far, it seems like it. But I already talked to him early. I'm sure he's already told you we got some stuff in line. And I guarantee you, I promise you, Jamari, there's going to be some more stuff that I'm going to ask of you. And we'll talk about that a whole lot later. But your story is going to be an important story, just like anybody else's. But nobody's heard of your story. So I think your story is going to be really, really, really important for somebody here. So be ready. Be always ready. So
okay.
I'll be reaching out to you soon. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, hey, clap your hands for Jamari Gillen, wife of Detron Gillen, author of Thinking Out the Pen. She was with us on today. So, Jamari, I appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody that's listening, I appreciate you. And you already know, this is your brother, your cousin, your nephew. This is Pastor Byron Sago, The Real Talk, and I'll see you next week. One.
Happened with the rest. Blow the whistle. Them folks got benched. Now watch me get blessed. Had to switch it up. Everybody ain't loyal. Nope. But my day ones with me been down since the soil. Whoa. All these hard times ain't finna stop. Never. If my God be with me, then we poppin'.
Okay.
On the real, really losing ain't no option. I got the word in my heart, so be cautious. I swear these Pharisees really make me nauseous. Guard my mind, ain't no time for no nonsense. Nah, straight like that, set it on wax. Only spitting facts, you can play it back. You can hear the truth when I'm in the booth. You can hit the dough if you get mad.
Brother, your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron Sago.
What you finna do when you get in?
I'm a actor.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.